And it's Monday morning.
Monday madness.
No, bro. I don't know what the hell was that.
You don't like that one?
Dude, you sounded possessed as hell.
We do kind of do some weird and wacky stuff sometimes.
We do weird and wacky, but I don't know what the hell that was. That was crazy shit.
Man, I thought that was a good voice, but let me go back.
No, we see everything sounds different in our head. Because what you just, I don't know what the hell that was. Guys, I'm sitting across from this guy, and I'm going to tell you right now, the fear of God just jumped in me. I'm like, hey, guys, Monday morning. And I, Monday. All I fucking have is macho Randy Savage across from me. Monday morning. Yeah, what the hell was that, bro?
But I felt that in my spirit, though.
I don't know what spirit exactly. What kind of spirit are you talking about? Got me wanting to bless this fucking mic.
You didn't want to get your
I got my holy water, bro. I'm going to get my sage. Nah, I need something stronger than sage. I need holy water. I need a priest. Jeez, yo, that was crazy.
You can always call Jessica.
Dude, moving on.
Inside joke.
I have no insight to any of that joke. All I know, I'm dealing with the devil here. Yeah. Dude, but you must have had an incredible weekend or a terrible weekend for you to come out like spitting demonic bars. This dude's spitting. I didn't know this dude comes out as a Satan rapper. Yo, Monday morning. What did you even say? What did you even say just now?
Monday morning.
Okay, now you just went from demonic to complete perv. Yo, that sounds like the only creep that sniffs panties. Like Monday.
I guess that voice sounded like I had a bunch of whiskey and cigarettes, didn't it?
No, it sounded like you had a bunch of Victoria's Secret panties that you sniffed because you broke into someone's house, you creeper.
That's in your head about Victoria's Secret.
No,
panties.
That voice sounded like it was the only stalker.
Are you having some kind of flashback about something?
What?
We're talking about, I don't know.
No, dude. I watched some horror films and that's up there. Like I said, my dog's scared. I got Phoenix over here. He's over here in the fetal position, guys. My dog is behind me in the fetal position because he just scared the living bejesus out of him.
I think he'll be okay. He got you.
He got you good though, right? I don't even know how you're not coughing. I try to imitate that voice and phlegm just is all in my throat.
I don't know. I just like I said before, I just felt it in my spirit.
Yeah, this dude's eyes is glowing and shit, guys.
Watch out.
Pray for me. This shit might come out. It might not even sound the same. Pray for me, you guys. This shit will come out. You guys will never hear from me again.
You know, it's a good Monday, though. Think about it. We're alive. We got our family. We got our health.
Yeah.
I think we're good. I'm good.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good way to start. I was watching something on YouTube. I follow a lot of law of attraction people as well as... Other stories, other people I follow, but law of attraction people, they say, oh, you know, the great exercise is to start your morning with, when your feet touch the floor, I love my life. So your feet touch the floor, you say, I love my life. And you do that every morning. It helps start your day. And there were some other exercises that you mentioned, but I can't remember.
So these are like mental exercises.
But everything is mental. So everything starts from your thoughts.
Okay.
So your thoughts create your day, create your life, create your moments. And then I was watching Rhonda Byrne. She has on Instagram, I follow The Secret. She's the author of The Secret.
Okay.
Okay, Rhonda Byrne.
Her name was Rhonda Byrne?
Yeah, Rhonda Byrne. So she started The Secret. That was like 15-something years ago now.
Okay.
And she was on Oprah. You remember that, right? Or you never saw her on Oprah?
I think I heard about it.
Okay, so she was on Oprah. I know your wife had seen it before, and she mentioned it because she knows about the whole the gurus.
Yep.
So she had a live, and she was saying, which is true, and you forget it. They were saying, stop resisting anything negative. Just accept it. Once you accept it, and the other person I follow on YouTube said the same thing. So once you accept it, then it won't persist because what you resist persists.
So. We mean something negative that you want. So
whether it's avoiding conflict, whether it's just something negative, whether it's avoiding a person or avoiding a situation, stress that could be stressful. If you just acknowledge it, accept it, then it's dead. You kill it that way. But if you don't, then you have all this energy that you're putting towards resisting it when you're actually creating more attraction of you resisting that same counter energy coming back towards you because you're trying to resist, you're trying to stay away from this.
So does that mean like, say for instance, you know, like being around certain people will cause situations. So are you saying to accept that and hang around them or?
No, not accept that and hang around them. Maybe accept. Okay. So maybe you say, oh, this person drives me crazy. Not like they're, maybe they're toxic. Not, maybe they're annoying. Okay. And you're like, oh, this person's annoying. But Okay. Maybe you just like, okay, you know what? Let me forget how this person's annoying. Let me just accept he's annoying.
Okay.
And accept them for that.
Okay.
And then once you get over that, maybe you see something better in them. Like, oh, but he's funny. Just like when you have a first impression. I don't know how you are. First impression people sometimes are like, oh, man, I thought you were a jerk. I thought you were, you know. Right, cocky,
right.
Until they get over that, and then all of a sudden now they see the real you.
Okay,
so that's a perfect example of how you, when you just accept, then you get something better because you move on from whatever you're resisting because you're just gonna find more situations to hate the person because you're gonna be like in your mind you can be like, look at him, he always gets the girl and the fuck it has nothing to do with what's going on here, but you just it has. More so with insecurities, whatever's going on with you, right?
I got you. Yeah, like there was somebody I work with. Yeah. And you know, he's a new guy.
Yeah,
he was a new guy at the time, and mm-hmm. He rubbed me the wrong way, so I dropped him off in his car.
Wow. You mean you did what?
Like we were riding together.
Yeah, and he rubbed you.
When I say rubbed me wrong, I mean like he.
Wow, Raven. Like, yo. So you dropped this guy that rubbed you off the wrong way to his car. Hey, you, that's a gentleman right there. If I ever did meet one, that's a yes. Nice gentleman.
And that felt really good. Wow. No. So no, we just, you know, he came off at me in the wrong way, and
yeah,
I don't take crap too much. So I said, hey, buddy, I'm dropping you off.
So you mean when you say that you stopped him from his full day of work and just sent him home early?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't really articulate that very well.
No, you did, but it was like people not understanding. Like, okay, so he rubbed you wrong when you guys were driving and you stopped the sexual abuse.
I had to call HR and file a complaint, you know, because he was like a little too aggressive for me, in his first few months.
Yeah, there is a movement.
I wasn't used to all that, you know.
This was before the Me Too, huh? The Me Too movement.
No, this is the He Too movement. The He Too.
So
we're just joking, people. So please, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. So what happened? What ended up happening? So
but my I was getting to. I accepted who he was,
and
we're good now. You know, basically, I think what you're trying to say.
So well, how did he rub you the wrong way in your mind? How did you pick him off as, or how did you? I would say, how did you judge him as?
Oh, annoying as...
Was he trying to be too funny? Was he...
He was trying... He tries way too hard to fit in, but it rubs the wrong way. He makes these... He made... I'm sorry.
What, inappropriate jokes or what? What do you mean?
No, it just come... You know someone that just tries too hard?
Yeah.
He tried too hard. And to me, I just want you to be yourself.
Gotcha.
Because I can't take that.
Yeah, but you said he was a new guy.
Yeah.
So that's... We're kind of not ourselves when we meet people anyway. We're kind of a shell of what we are, or we put on this fake bravado to be something that we're completely not.
Yeah, but I had to learn him. You know, he had to kind of learn me as well.
These choices of words, man. Oh, my God. What the hell is going on here, bro?
I'm giving him all kind of good content.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I can't wait for the editing on this, though.
Oh, no. This is not even being edited, bro. Gosh.
He had to learn me.
Oh, I had to learn him. He had to learn me.
He had to know all about
this.
Well,
that's good. I mean, so after you guys learned each other, there was no more early drops off to the car.
No, we became better.
Better. Okay, cool. So the relationship blossomed and grew. So
we grew together.
Yeah, okay. So I'm learning new things about this guy every day, y'all. Crazy.
We are better together.
So But all jokes aside, that's what happens when we resist things, they persist, and it's the truth. When you look at women, damaged women usually end up being with the people they're trying to avoid. So let's say if they had an abusive father,
yep,
that was an alcoholic, they end up marrying their father because mm-hmm. they put that energy out there thinking the way the law of attraction works, it's you put the energy trying to avoid it. That's wonderful. Hey, I'm not going to do this or touch this or whatever. And you end up actually attracting that to you because you're putting all that thought into, oh, I don't want a man that day. But the universe doesn't hear don'ts. It just hears, I'm focusing on this man that drinks a lot. I'm focusing on this man that doesn't do anything with his life. I'm focusing. That's what I want. And you're going to keep attracting the same guys.
And that's funny that it does work out like that for some.
Oh, for a lot.
Yes. And hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a true statement. When hurt people will hurt people.
Yeah. But that's a cycle. That's a cycle that they've seen. So they've seen their parents do that, and they emulate exactly what that relationship was.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to always be their parents. It could be family members or other situations. But, yeah, you're right.
Well, yeah, anyone that's in the household, anyone that's in their environment, absolutely. It doesn't have to be a guardian. Let's put it as a guardian.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, cool. So, guys, so you guys should start that. Start your day with saying, I love my life. And start saying that because that'll start your day off better, because if you say I love my life, then you fool your brain. That's the first thing you're thinking in the morning instead of, oh, I got to go to my work. I hate my life. Sorry, I love my life. And then start thinking of picking out things out throughout the day that you love. Like, oh, I love that. Whether it's the sky. I know Raymond likes the beach. Whether it's things that just bring you some little bit of joy, because you switch your brain. And now you're looking, instead of looking for shit that's negative, you're looking for stuff constantly that brings you joy. Because we all can get into a negative rut. It's not impossible. We all get in there. I get there.
Yeah. So with you doing this, you've been doing this for how long?
No, I just saw this today. So I'm going to start doing it again. Waking up and say, oh, I love my life. Because then you wake up with happiness and urgency and excitement. So when you do that, right, what happens? Then something amazing is going to start. Momentum is going to build up. You're going to start hearing good news for something. You wake up and say, I love my life. Things that you love are going to start appearing.
Now, would you consider that being something where you say, I'm going to fake it till I make it?
Everything's fake it till you make it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it all has to be with feelings. So you can't fake and say something. You have to feel it within, because the law of attraction is based on, thoughts, visualization, right? You see things, but it's the feelings. So you got to match the feelings to what you're envisioning. So basically, when they say, oh, act as if, people are like, okay, I pretend I have this. But would you really pretend that way? People take it to over the board because you've achieved stuff and you've gotten stuff. And when you've gotten it, have you felt right after you got it? You're like, damn, I knew I was going to get it. You were almost like, I got this. But you're not jumping for joy like you won $100 million. That's a different type of feeling.
Right, because you're not. It's kind of like you felt this gonna happen.
Yeah,
but when it happened, you was like, "Yeah, it worked out.
It was gonna happen. I knew I had it." So it's almost you have to have that type of borderline confidence, but not overdoing it with too overconfident that you don't even believe it. That it's so fake that you're like, "Oh, you're sitting out. You're having an out of body experience, thinking like, I don't believe this bullshit." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is too much. What am I doing? Like, you're like, oh man, no. No, do what you would do when you got the car you wanted, when you got the job you wanted, when you, in your case, hit the winning shot, game shot in a basketball court with your kids or something, with the eighth graders kicking your keys all over the grass. Just be how sixth you grader. Would be. Yeah, sixth grade. At least you're honest. So just be how you would be. Because it's so simple. The simplicity in the law of attraction is what's the scary shit. Because you'll sit there and you'll be like, I listened to Earl Nightingale, which is it's called The Strangest Secret. And it says, if you listen to this recording, it's about 30 something minutes. Earl Nightingale's done like 1930 something or 1940, maybe 1940s, 1930 something. So it's when they had things on record players. And he's like, The Stranger Secret. And they had a doctor, and he was like, they were trying to figure out, why does one this certain percent achieve so much and this other percent doesn't? And he was like, simple. Man becomes what they think. And that's in the Bible. What do you think? You know, man becomes what they think. That's what they say. If you think, you grow rich. If you think rich, you grow rich. But if whatever your thoughts on autopilots, if you ever listen to the Earl Nightingale, The Stranger Secret, it'll tell you these exercises to do. At the end, you'll tell you to get an index card. You write your goals, three goals down, and you look at them every day. And then you put the Bible verse on it. What Jesus said, you know, knock and it shall be open, seek and it shall, you shall find, ask and it shall be given. And you have this index card with you every day, and you look at it. It tells you look at it like three or four times a day, and that programs your mind to focus on that, and opportunities and things will open itself up to you. And it's proven. Why? Because the law of attraction is already working for you with negative shit. You just don't see it.
So you're saying that because you write it out on a card three times.
No, you write it on a card and you look at it.
You look at it, okay.
Like three times a day because you're focusing on your goal. If you look at Michael Jordan, if you look at Kobe Bryant, if you look at even Tesla, Elon Musk, if you look at these people, I'm pretty sure all they focused on was this goal they had in mind.
Yeah,
whether it was being successful. Huh?
But they also, you know, there was some action in there as well.
There is action. There has to be action in order to achieve your goals. Absolutely. But there has to be purposeful action or guided action or an intuitive action. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can work. You can say, I want to be a basketball player all you want and go to the gym and shit. But if you don't have that belief that you can be in the NBA, that's why some people make it, some people don't. I mean, I was looking on freaking Instagram, there's this guy that's a amputee, has one arm, and he's fucking doing windmills, and he's playing. Yeah, you're this kid. He's a teen. You know, he's in high school. I mean, and what do they have? Baseball. They have. I've seen people that have no arms hitting baseballs and shit.
I get what you're saying, but those people are a little bit different than their average person.
Why are they different? How are they more different? See, you're saying they're different.
They are different.
No, but you're saying, I'm talking about, like, so let's say the amputee people. Are you saying
No, I'm saying, like, when you said, okay, the amputee person, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but let's talk about the amputee persons. All right, let's say the person that has lost something or was not born with anything, right? But they kill everything. They're supposed to be at a disadvantage. But why, in my mindset, I'm like, they're at an advantage because they have no limitation. Even though they have limitation physically, mentally, their limitation has been erased.
Right. Okay.
So I think I think even though they're a physical disadvantage, mentally they're at a huge advantage because it's almost like someone that's been given everything and been enabled, they can't make it on their own. Or let's say you have a pet that's been taken care of, and you send them out to the wild. They don't know how to provide for themselves. They've been enabled and housed. Versus someone that didn't have anything, it's like, yo, I want everything because they had that hunger, that drive.
Right. Yeah, the hunger. I agree with that. The hunger and the drive, that's something that motivates most people who want to achieve greatness.
Yeah.
But still, though, the people you mentioned, there is a difference in their mentality than just having a dream board.
But here's the thing. They don't have to have a dream board. Like, let's say, for instance, Kobe Bryant. I know he envisioned stuff. And I know he studied the fucking game. And he studied who he wanted to be like so much so he emulated Michael Jordan down to the walk, down to the talk, down to chewing gum in all of his moves. So it had to be visualization there. He had to see himself getting to that level or being better. No one thought about, hey, I'm going to be better than Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be either have some of his moves, meet the man. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be him or destroy him.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying everything started with thought and visualization. He thought he could be incredible. He had the swag and whatever. But he had to build that up. He wasn't confident in Europe. He said he wasn't. because he was, you know, he was out. He was a misfit kid in Europe. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and when he came back here, he was, I mean, out of sorts because he spoke all these languages and whatever when he came back here. So he had to find his place. But I'm saying he wasn't born confident in a sense.
I get that. Yes. He wasn't born confident, yeah. But something happened where there's a difference though. I don't know if they faked it to make it or whatever, but I mean, have you heard Jordan's Hall of Fame speech?
Yeah, I heard him. I heard his Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Narcissist. Straight up. Narcissist. Kobe. Have you heard what he talks about as far as, like, people say, don't look at when they used to interview him by Jordan. They say they used to tell him, don't look at Jordan if you want to play Jordan. Don't look at him. Don't look him in the eyes or, you know. And he's like, what? And call him Black Jesus. I'm not calling him Black Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it was a difference, like an arrogance.
Yeah, it was an arrogance. Yeah, exactly.
So
it was an arrogance because there was no limitations on the man. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you right now, Kobe Bryant, his mind was way beyond basketball. He was a high, you know, highly intelligent. That's why he can speak those fluent languages, and he was, you know, fucking amazing in business. I mean, he even had a tech start company that he had, and he had to write the books that he started. He even had the series that he started in the Intel detail with ESPN. I mean, the dude was beyond, and I even heard that he learned how to play the piano in a song.
Right.
For Vanessa that he had. Yeah, that he had. Was his friend teach him? His agent?
I think it was his friend. Agent.
Yeah, teach him while
agent he who on the phone being the GM for the Lakers.
Yeah, had Rob Bolinka, right? Rob.
There you go.
Yeah, had him teach him, and he learned this all while he was playing in this hotel.
Because he was obsessed.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the drive and commitment. Yeah,
yeah, it's something that
but
few people have.
I think a lot of us have. A lot of people don't want to tap into it or sacrifice. There is sacrifice.
Yes, you have to give up. You got to give to get
a lot. So the sad part about Kobe Bryant, which I know we talk about a lot on the show, we mention him a lot.
Mm-hmm. And we should.
Yeah, because he, like you said, he's one of the greats.
We love you, Vanessa.
Yeah, and the
family, Brown,
all the
family,
and all the families that lost all the loved ones that lost a loved one, the families that lost a loved one that day too.
Exactly. Yes.
He's more so known for basketball because he dedicated his adult life to basketball.
Exactly.
That literally 3 years after leaving basketball, he passed away, and that was him. Everyone knowing him as a man, knowing as a businessman, knowing him as an entrepreneur, that he's dedicated so much to it. That was a sacrifice. That's all you knew him for, mm-hmm. until he was done with basketball. Well, you kind of knew him on his small stint as a rapper on that Brian McKnight single.
Most folks didn't listen to that rapping.
Well, I didn't listen to the rap, but he had a good one in "I'll Take Her." What was it?
I can't remember the music now because I listened to it one time. And I was like, oh, Kobe, come on!
Don't be afraid to hold me, hold me. You remember that song?
I forgot it.
Anyway, he had that little small stitch. But I'm just saying that's how dedicated he was, and we are all capable of doing it. Whether it's a spouse or someone, I could see limitations being with a person that would limit someone from being great.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Because you're like, you sacrifice. Like, what can you do? What would you, you know, instead of dedicating X amount of hours to the craft, you're like worrying about the other person's, oh, spend time with me. Okay, I've spent time with you. Fine. But we all are capable of it. It's like you said, it's all who's willing to sacrifice to get there.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, so we're all capable of it. We all can tap into it. Just
if you want to lose your family and be great, go ahead.
they'll come back when you're rich though. They'll be like, oh shit. Yeah,
I knew you would do it.
Exactly.
I had your back the whole time.
Exactly.
No, you didn't.
Exactly. So, speaking of family and royalty, dude, did you? I see that whole thing with the Meghan Markle.
You know, I used to
scandal. I don't even know if it's a scandal or whatever with Oprah.
Meghan, I used to think, I used, think that she was real cute when she do play. I can't remember her name, but she used to play in this show called Suits. It was on USA.
Yeah,
when she was like a. You're not a lawyer. You're a what do you call them? If you're not a lawyer, you're a.
You're not a lawyer, but you're
not a legal aide, but like right before a lawyer,
paralegal.
Paralegal.
You're a paralegal in it.
Yeah, okay. She dated this guy on there on the show who was like
a lawyer.
He wasn't a lawyer because he had a photographic memory.
Oh,
so he would take the bar exam for people.
Wow.
And then he got caught.
Yeah.
And so for his punishment, he kind of had to help this law firm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Only in America.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show, though. But anyway, she was on the show. I thought she was amazing on there.
Oh, got you. So, I know I told you to watch the video before this. You've known as much as I know. Like, okay. I've seen snippets of it. So, what are your thoughts on what you saw? I mean, what you looked at first, as far as her being with Oprah, talking about how the royal family were kind of discriminating against her or making her feel... Some sort of way about the color of the child.
Okay, so I think that what she said is probably pretty valid, mm-hmm. as far as them probably making her feel like you're gonna have a Negro, you know, mm-hmm. representing us. I mean, I think. She probably felt very, very uncomfortable, you know.
Do you think when she got into that, do you think she was thinking like how all of America was thinking? Oh man, this is gonna be like,
yeah, it's gonna be great.
The fairy tale, and
yes,
I mean, like they completely forgot about Princess Diana.
For instance, let me give you an example.
Yeah,
remember Chris Brown, right?
The rapper, singer.
Yeah, remember Rihanna.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, remember what happened with Rihanna?
Yeah, what about her?
Okay, see her, you know, a little bit of bruise on the lips and all that?
Yeah, 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 I remember, yeah.
But girls still said, I want to be around Chris Brown. They didn't care. They remember what happened with Rihanna, but they don't care. It's the joy, the excitement. You forget about, you know, what could possibly happen to you mm-hmm. because you want to experience everything. So you don't really care about the consequences sometimes.
Well, I mean, you have all these Hollywood movies and these perceptions of things. But I'm pretty sure that she had an idea going in because she was dating him for however long. So she had to meet the family and she had to go there and feel different.
Yeah, but they probably didn't think they was actually going to have get married and have a kid. Well, at first.
I'm saying when it got serious, when she got engaged, they must have been like, she must have gotten some looks. But my whole thing is this. Because they had other people, I've looked at people and their perspectives online and stuff, and a guy had a really good thought behind it. Because he was like, yo, at the end of the day, you don't understand bloodlines, royalty, pedigrees. You're talking about families that have incest, that keep family because that's the tradition as far as keeping bloodlines pure. That's the old way, right?
That is the old way.
Yeah, that's the old way to keep the lines pure. So it's like when you bring something into the fold that is not of the same lineage.
Mm-hmm.
Because Princess Diana, she wasn't, her family was well off, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
She was not something off the street. I mean, her family was well off and had money. So
so they felt like Meghan was tainted?
Could be, but here's the thing. But here's the lineage. But so the guy I was watching, he was saying, like, you got to think of it from this perspective. She's in a single parent household.
Okay.
Her parents are not together. You know, she's an actress with a decent amount of career. So it's not, you know, it's just different things they were talking about as far as, and then you have a prince that's like, hey, you know, because back in the day, it's when two kingdoms come together, it's to betterment of both kingdoms. You know, it's to boost the power of the kingdoms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, oh, you're getting with me because your family this. So it's money. It's money, old money, old money. Power, whatever the case may be. So it's almost like what he was saying, what does she bring to the table? So it's like as far as family, as far as lineage, it's almost like broken household. So all that is on the table.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, shoot. When he mentioned, I was like, wow, this is a different perspective.
Yeah.
It makes sense, like I said, because pure blood, you know, bloodlines and like that, you know, it's duchess and all this other stuff and arranged marriages.
And how old is the queen? About 80, 90 years old?
He was like, the queen's about 137. I don't know how old she is. She's just old, man.
And you know,
and alive.
You know she old school.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Well, all of them are old school. I mean, come on, look at them.
I mean, you know, the other isn't like the other son, he the one that got caught up with that guy who...
William?
Huh?
Prince William?
I think it was it William, the one who knew the guy who was doing that crazy stuff at the castle, though? I mean, not the castle, but the island?
Oh, Epstein?
Yes.
No. It was Prince Andrew. That's a different prince. Not related to... it's a prince... I think his name is Prince Andrew. Was hanging with him. You're not,
yeah,
not the sons, not William and Harry.
No, but he's part of that family.
He's
though.
Part of the family. Absolutely. Yeah,
but I'm saying, like,
yeah.
The thing is that, like, it's a lot of craziness in that family, though.
A lot of craziness and a lot of secrets. I mean, the skeletons. I mean, at the end of the day, that's because they're on this big ass pedestal. Okay. So, I mean, all of us would have. If we were on a pedestal, all our families, like, holy shit. I mean, we'll have crazy-ass scandals. We'll have crazy stories. I don't even know how you survive.
I got scandals, and we ain't even rich at all.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be like, what the? You know what I mean? I can imagine growing up like, you know, the black sheep. I'd been the black sheep.
Right, right.
For real. I'd been the black sheep. What about you? Would you have been the black sheep?
I don't know if I've been the black sheep. I mean... I think the only thing, like, with us, with me personally, it would probably been, I mean, me dating a white girl. I mean, like, my mom,
yeah,
she didn't really, this was her thing. She always just say this, listen, baby.
As long as you're happy. And
as long as you're happy. She told me, she says,
the old spiritual, Negro spiritual. Go ahead. You talking. I'm going to give you the background. Go ahead. Tell me what your mama said. I'll give you the background. Go ahead.
I would prefer you to.
No, be- go ahead. Say it like your mom. Start from the beginning. Oh, baby. Go ahead.
Listen, I would prefer you. I prefer you to be with somebody of your own kind because it'd be a lot easier.
No.
I want you to just be happy. Be with who you want to be with. Say it, sister. Sister Mary, say it. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, she was just like, you know, just be who makes you happy.
No, it's my mom said the same thing. My mom has always said that. She was like, I don't care if you're straight or gay, as long as you're happy.
But they did. She did care, though. I mean, she didn't want to be with a white person. She didn't.
Oh,
I mean,
she didn't?
She didn't, but she never said it to my straight. I mean, she could have, but she always just tried to, like, say it, like, in a way, like, I just want you to be happy. But I would prefer you to be with somebody black because she says that a person is white, they really
can't understand
your struggles or what you're going through, and vice versa.
Yeah.
There'll be things that you won't be able to relate to, and then it goes down to the families and how they treat you and how, you know, it was like that.
And did you experience any of that?
It's always.
No, but do you experience any? I'm not talking about as far as the families. Of course, there's going to be always riffs about that. But I'm saying as far as your partners, did you ever experience they didn't understand your struggle? Or they tried to downplay it more, like, no, it's okay.
Certain things, yeah. It's just natural because they're not black.
They're not black, but they. Do you ever think that they more so claim to understand it because they were with you and they thought they knew it from a first person point of view being in a relationship that they can speak on it more, or they just left it alone, like, if I don't mention it,
I would say they attempted to, but yeah, you would have to let them know. I would have to let them know, like, look, you speaking on something you have no idea about.
Okay.
You can try to,
yeah,
but at the end of the day you don't really know.
You don't know my struggle.
You don't really know.
You don't know what I go through. You don't know that, hey, that person in the store is looking at me and asked me a couple times, oh, do I need any help?
You know what? For many years, like, Kara, she didn't realize. I used to tell her, I said, you know, they're watching us right now, right? She was like, who watching us? I said, the people over there, they're watching us. And she's like, they're not watching us. And then it took a little time.
And then she started noticing.
Exactly. Yeah, she started noticing. It would be always older people.
Yeah.
Not younger, but older. And they would be just staring at us.
I mean, like, just people watching you, just people watching, or in the stores?
No, not people watching.
In the stores, people.
Interracial watching.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, in the stores, or just people, couples out and about? Oh,
in the stores.
In the stores, okay. Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, you need any help? oh, shit, he's paying. Oh, Sally, come here. He's paying. He's paying. Oh, he's got cash. This is wonderful. Mm-hmm. When did he start giving you people credit cards? No, I'm kidding. Shit's changed. So anyway, that's what they were saying. And then you had the other stuff, you know, people are saying, well, is she telling the truth or is she just looking, you know, just over exaggerating?
What do you think?
I haven't seen all of it, but of course there's some truth to that, right? There has to be some truth to that. And the fact that they cut him off with the money and everything, and then they said that the child was not going to have a title. Ooh,
wow. That's like disrespectful.
Yeah, the child's not going to have any title. It's not going to have any security. That is like a cut. The fucking royal dog probably has security. You're telling me my child is not going to have a... Okay, fuck the title. But my child's not going to have a security guard? I mean, not even one?
I know.
We can't fucking get Benson over there?
I know. And it's they pretty foul over there sometimes as far as the racial stuff. I mean, yeah. It's bad here, but it's just as bad over there.
Oh, it's bad everywhere, man. Right. Let's not get it twisted. It's bad everywhere. People, we just have a different misconception of things in the States. Like, oh, yeah, if we go out to Europe, if we go out to Africa, yeah, you make sure you get your shit back. I mean, everybody understands stuff because they're like, oh, go back to Africa. And so that was my thought. Okay.
So about Megan, though, overall about Megan, I feel like at the end of the day, you know, she is... you know, a person of color, black. And I think she has a right to feel the way she feels. And I also think that...
Does she identify herself as a person of color or black? Because
that's a good question.
I don't know.
I think she has, though. I want to say she has.
I'd have to look and research to see whether she identified that. Because my only issue, guys, mm-hmm. and hear me out, Raymond, is because I don't want you to claim something you've never claimed publicly before or accepted and play that card now, because then it'd be like, hell, I live this, you know, just because you're brighter skinned than me and you have different features, you get away with more or get more opportunities than I may have, but you don't identify yourself with that. And then now you're playing the black card. Then I would think you're wrong for that just because someone called you black.
Right.
Because, you know, your father's mixed. Your father's white. So I don't know if you identify your... Because there's people that do that. They could just identify themselves as, I'm one race.
Why can't she just do both?
No. I'm saying she could do both. I'm saying, but there's people that identify, I'm just one.
Yeah, well, you know, when she about to pay her taxes, she claimed the white people. When she in the hood, she claimed the black people.
Yo, all of a sudden she turned into Pocahontas.
Like, yo, Maria. It could be like Dave Chappelle's, what's that, Dave Chappelle, when they had that race. They had the different races, and they had like Tiger Woods, and it was like, they got rid of Tiger Woods, and they wanted Condoleezza Rice, or they got rid of Condoleezza Rice, and they wanted Tiger Woods. I can't remember.
Oh, for the race thing when they were trading? Trading. It was like basketball. It was like, oh, we want them. Picking people that were mixed.
Yeah,
I know you're talking about. I remember seeing that. Vaguely, I remember. But yeah, that's when they were picking. Yeah, I remember that. That's pretty funny. So anyway, man, a good exercise, you guys, I think. Like I said, start your morning off saying, I love my life. And then throughout the day, look for things you love, little hints of things, whether it's your missus or your mister texting you, have a great day, love you. If it's a certain song you look for, if it's a certain car or vehicle, I used to do that. I used to look for a certain green, lime green, to keep me on the law of attraction, to make sure I was focusing on good thoughts. So I would put that out there. Anytime I saw a lime green beetle,
Look for a lime green beetle for what reason?
Just to keep me on track. So I'd put that out in the universe and it would always come back to me. I would always see it and I would never...
But why a lime green beetle?
Because it was rare. So that I knew I was attracting it.
Oh.
Because you don't see a lime green beetle. And I was like, okay. I saw one day and I said, anytime I see that, it's going to put me on point when I'm on the right track, or I should focus on the law of attraction, make sure I know what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling.
What's your favorite color?
Lime green? Green, any of the greens, green, green, lime green, and blue, gotcha. Baby blue, royal blue.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What about you?
Red.
Oh, of course, yeah, red. Yeah. That's your power color.
Power.
Yeah.
Yeah, power color.
Ooh, yeah. I was just like, guys, because, you know, this conversation started off, right, with Raymond talking about some dude rubbing his leg and shit. So when he was asking what's my favorite color, I was like, I don't know where the hell this is going. I think lime green, but anyway, guys, you guys have a great week, man.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention to us.
And buy the fucking merch.
Yeah, definitely.
Raymond's rocking the merch right now, guys. It's looking awfully, awfully awesome on you, sir. It's
very comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, like, subscribe. We'll see you guys soon. And yeah, we will be back on YouTube right now. We're just getting the flow back in with the audio. Have a great one. I'm Reg.
I'm Ray.
The Bro Rants.
And we're out. Peace.